CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to the second broadcast of 2026 on this Monday afternoon. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are. And again, what has changed since the last broadcast? Wow, things are going on all over the world. And, you know, again, I believe today is a good day for the rapture. That's what I think. You know, one of these days, the Lord's going to take us home. I pray that you're salt and light in this brand new year, and that your influence in Christ Jesus is felt for as many people as possible. You know, I think God's going to set all of us up to be that salt and light. And so we want to represent our King very well in a world that doesn't know him. And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us today, that number to call again, 888 ask CSN, and we'll do our very best to answer that question for you. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker here on the Weekend Times. We have with us Brad Dacus from the Dacus Report from PJI.org, Pacific Justice Institute, attorneys at law representing people like you and me against unfair governmental laws, and much more. Hi, and welcome, Brad.
Oh, it's always a pleasure in the program. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Well, Brad, since we talked, man, the world continues to change. We have one less dictator in the world, it seems like, right now. And what's your take on all this?
Well, I salute the president for his actions for several reasons. Number one, it's high time that we take out those who are overtly killing our citizens deliberately, premeditatively, which is exactly what he's been doing on a massive scale by making lots of money, by being a major drug lord and providing illegal drugs and pushing illegal drugs from Venezuela. So I think that was a very smart move. How it was done was brilliant and has been applauded by people from both parties who look at it just from a strategic perspective, and how it was implemented, how it was very fine-tuned. It's similar to what we saw in the attack against Iran and against their attempt to have nuclear missiles to annihilate the United States and Israel. So I think that it was done well. It was very well justified. He's already been criminally indicted before this even happened for his drug trafficking, et cetera. So and there's so many people he's killed, so many brutally killed, just like the cartel.
He is cartel.
So I'm glad that happened. We're gonna have to wait and see whether or not the next government, the vice president just sworn into office to take his place, Rodriguez, whether or not she is going to be smart enough and wise enough to realize, I better work with the United States, I better reform things, I better stop the drug cartel, etc. Of course, they're the ones that are supporting her in power. They're the ones that are supporting the legislature. It's all puppets of the drug cartel. But if they don't wisen up and they don't quickly work with the United States cooperatively, they can expect something even worse, and maybe something much broader, and maybe even a complete U.S. assumption of Venezuela. I know that's not President Trump's goal. It's not his first choice, because he doesn't want to have American blood spilled. If necessary, if he can get those countries to snap into place for their own self-interest, all the better. But we'll have to wait and see.
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting to me that globally, everyone knew that that he was cheated into office. I mean, everybody knows that's common. Yeah. I think it's interesting to me, though, the same group of people, the no kings, no dictators, and the streets of America. Well, Trump takes out a dictator, and the same group is out protesting that. What is it? Is these people just, I look at this, what are you going to do? Just let narco drug gangs run countries like Venezuela, like Mexico. The prime minister, the president of Mexico, she knows she's scared to do anything against the cartels for her own life. And probably very wisely, I would say so, because they're of their power. But do you just let them, the gangs and the thugs, run everything? I wonder if the people in the streets in America that are rioting over this, by the way, everybody from Venezuela is rejoicing. I watched the parties going on down in Florida, South Florida, a large Venezuelan populace that are there are just rejoicing over this, this terrorist taken out, and dictator. And you have these people that are these people the people that are addicted to drugs, that are reliant upon the illegal immigration into America in the last administration, carrying the drugs in, or the narco boats carrying the drugs in, or the kingpins carrying the facilitating all this? They're the ones that are upset. Everybody else is going, yay, we got rid of drug dealers. They're going, we want more drug dealers. All I can tell you is there's a particular party in America that loves crime. And if there's crime, if there's deceit, if there's embezzlement of funds, Minnesota, if you see that, that's the party that stands up and says, we love the corruption. Mike, I don't know. I'm just a simple guy. But is that the take? Because why isn't everybody in Minnesota up in arms over, they say it's now well over $9 billion of embezzled money. They said the governor was very well informed of this a long time ago. It continue. What's your take on this? You're an attorney. Explain it for all us simple folk that look at this and go, how do you do this? Because I don't understand. I don't understand how Mandani can take, as an example, the mayor, the new communist mayor of New York, an oath of office on the Quran, everybody, not on the Bible, on the Quran, and say that he's going to uphold American values, uphold the Constitution, where what he believes as a communist is diametrically opposed to our Constitution in almost every way. So explain this for me, because I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can take, the minute that you take your oath of office, you've indicted yourself, because what you stand for is opposite to what the United States is. Help me, please.
Yeah, it's really disturbing to see this, of course. And also, in fact, he took the oath of office on the Quran. I realize he's Muslim. But Muslims, even Muslims, purportedly recognize the Bible. They say it has errors in it. It's not quite the same as the Quran. Okay, same with the Mormons, do the same with the Book of Mormon. But nonetheless, he could have had his hand on the Bible, but he was making a statement. And that's an indicator of how, I think how radical or how extreme he may be on pushing Islam and favoring Islam and the agenda of Islam. We'll have to see how that pans out. Of course, he's very communist. That's not a pejorative. That's not an exaggeration. That's who he is.
That's fact. He'll admit it. That's not like something found in a drugstore tabloid. He admits it. That's what he's going to do. I just go crazy stuff.
So the taxes are at risk of going up. Business capital, I believe, will see it steadily leave New York, particularly when they realize that he is what he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. I think many of them are thinking, well, surely he's not going to be that radical. But I think that's what we're going to see happen. And of course, we have people in the state of California, they're hearing about a possible new wealth tax, not an income tax, but a wealth tax. That they're floating, something like that passes, we're going to see even more people leave California at a faster rate, and California and New York will both become places where poverty, laziness, crime, drugs will flourish all the more. So we got to see what happens. But the good news is we have an attorney general in the United States, the Department of Justice. They're not putting up with crime. And while, you know, if Trump had lost, those people in Minneapolis, Minnesota would probably have no problem. They'd still be engaging in their corruption. But because we have a different Department of Justice that is fervently against crime, I believe we have a lot of cleanup that's going to take place. And I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I heard they're rewriting the old Beach Boys song. Wish we all could leave California now. Just something out of there. Okay, let's go to the phones. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. We have Michael on the line, Tacoma, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I had a question. I keep on getting a question asked, and I don't really have a good answer. It's regarding to Revelations chapter 2, verses 9. And it talks about the synagogue of Satan. And I would like to kind of get a better understanding, who are the synagogue of Satan? What is he making reference to? And is he talking about a race of people, or is he talking about something else? And what is the context?
Well, I believe that, again, they profess that they are and have something to do with God. That's what synagogues do. They were to lead the people into the ways of holiness and righteousness. Now, when we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, here we find some of the descriptions. Now, if you'll notice the context in 2 Timothy here, tying it to Revelation, this is really important because it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, in the last days, there's your key for this chapter, which will tie in to your question there in Revelation chapter 2. It says, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lover of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, this answers your question right here. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people, turn away. The synagogue of Satan has a form of godliness. Now, again, Timothy identifies, Paul writing to Timothy identifies that in the last days, perilous times will come. He lists all these things that are right here. And then he says, having a form of godliness, but yet practicing all these evil things that we find verses 1-4 are part of their, so to speak, their religious system. So they're corrupt. They have a form of godliness. It is in the last days, he tells us there in verse 1 of chapter 3. Then going back over to Revelation, to answer your question, Revelation 2:9, here he says, I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those that say they are Jews, and that would indicate that they were understanding God's word, God's law. That's what Jews did. But notice he goes on and says they say they're of the Jews, but they're not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. So again, you can say lots of things, but Timothy, Paul writing there, identifies that they are people who have a form of godliness, but they're full of corruption in their lives, in their organizations, and things like this. And I think we're all seeing more and more of that as we go along. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I'd like to also take a look at this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, which parallels what you're talking about as far as this synagogue of Satan. It's for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We are seeing that come to pass on historic levels with regards to the church. We're not talking about some outside religious cult. We're talking about within the, quote, church, heresy. People telling people what they want to hear. Because it's, and we see that in denominations, the Episcopal, First United Methodist, PCUSA, Presbyterian, PCUSA, denominations that are openly heretical in telling people that it's okay to engage in gay lifestyles and sex acts and to cut off body parts, maybe to become distort your gender, change your gender. These are all lies that the denominations are affording and allowing and saluting and encouraging at times, that it, you know, may give people what they want to hear, but it's completely abominable to the Word of God. And I believe we have never seen this like we are seeing it today. And I think this is just another sign that that we're approaching the closer coming of Christ, because that's what this part of Timothy is about, the end times. And we're seeing it very clearly in institutions with crosses on the top of their steeples, but abomination inside their cathedrals.
Yeah, they you'll see this oftentimes where they'll refer. I watched a news clip from one of the news companies, and it had some church back east, it was an LGBT referring to God as she and all this kinds of stuff. Yeah, they claim they have some relationship with God, but absolutely abominable when it comes to the Word of God. And so right. we don't define God. God's Word defines who we are. And this is the difference. You see, people try to change the Bible to fit their culture, their lifestyles, whatever. But the Bible has always been that which changes us to be more like Christ. Big difference. Michael, hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you so much.
God bless you. Stay aligned. Send you a little book called Time to Grow. Great for evangelism. And if you need any more, let us know. We're here for you. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to Michael again in North Carolina. Popular name. I can relate with this. North Carolina, Michael. Hi. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike. Hello, Brad. Thank you for taking my call. I've been in a debate a couple of times. Somebody said the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. I said, well, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the truth will make you free. If you've got a prison ministry, you're not setting them free. They're being made free, not set free. They said I was arguing semantics. Am I?
You know, Brad, your thoughts on this? You're an attorney.
I'm trying to listen to this now. You're saying they're saying the truth will set you free.
Will make you free.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think make is implies no choice. When we open ourselves to truth, we're opening ourselves to what truth can convict us, and in so doing can set us free from false doctrine, from maybe things that are enslaving us in our lives that we feel bound by because of a lie we're believing, or we're not looking to the source of our strength, which is the Lord. God's the truth, or the Word of God, is powerful. It gives us understanding of sin, and also how to have victory over sin through being a follower of Christ and meditating on the Word and surrendering our life to the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to work. So, does it set us free? Yes, make us free. It does, but only to the extent to that we are willing to openly receive the truth. So to me, I think it's more semantics, but I could apply both of those in that context.
And as we look here, we see this comes out of John 8:32. And Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe that, again, maybe a little semantics, but the point simply is that when we come to Christ, God begins this wonderful freeing blessing in our lives. You know, people that come to Christ oftentimes have terrible drug problems, alcohol problems, other problems. And the second they accept Christ, does all those problems go away? Well, sometimes, miraculously, yes, it does. I've seen people do that. Other people seem to wrestle with certain things their whole life. And this is why there are different Christian groups, similar to AA, that they're in the process of God's deliverance in their life. We know that we live in a fallen world, and because of that fallen world and the temptations thereof, we realize that we're surrounded by all kinds of outside influences, even as a Christian, that can drag us back or drag us down. So yes, I believe that in our spirit, we are set free, absolutely, because that's where the freedom of Christ comes. But sometimes it takes a while for our flesh to catch up to that. So Michael, I'd say in the spirit, yes, we're immediately free. In the flesh, I think sometimes it takes a while. And certainly I think we've all seen areas in our own personal lives where, God, I just wish I could get free of this, or this thought pattern in my life, or whatever it might be. I think as we understand that we're a triune being, our spirit can be set free because it's been born again by the Spirit of God. But sometimes we have to go through, as the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is an ongoing process that we have to apply in our life so that we will then begin to think like Christ. Because as the old adage goes, you think wrong, you live wrong. And so, yes, I believe that we are free in our spirit when we accept Christ as our Savior, but sometimes it takes a while for our brains and our flesh to catch up to that. I hope that helps.
Well, yeah, that's why I was arguing this was a prison ministry. They weren't being set free.
Well, here's the point. Let's go back. I digress. Okay, the shepherds were tending their flocks by night. Heavenly host breaks out, saying, "Unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord." Now, the Savior is what we all need. We didn't need a life coach. We didn't need a motivational speaker. We didn't need a guru. We needed a Savior. And the Savior, unfortunately, the Jewish people thought was going to deliver them from the Roman government. But we realize as we study Jesus's purpose coming to this earth, initially was to set us free from ourselves. See, no government can do that. A government can tell you, don't eat drugs, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that. Well, look at the problems we got right now in the world because people can't get control of their fleshly desires. That's what it's all about. We need a Savior. And though someday Jesus will save us from man's futile efforts to govern himself, right now, today, we need to be saved from ourselves. And so I think, Michael, when we look at this, we have to understand when we say free, there's all kinds of different freedom. Unfortunately, the Jews were looking for a Messiah that would come and crack the Roman government off their backs. That's what they wanted. In fact, when Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem 1 week before he was crucified on Palm Sunday, they were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." The word Hosanna in the Hebrew is save now, save now. Not save now ourselves, but save us from the taxes, save us from the tyranny of the Roman government. So I believe that, again, when we talk about freedom, we have to look at the different avenues of freedom. Some people believe freedom is to have as much money and as much drugs as you want. Now that's freedom. Or is that slavery? Or is that bondage? Or is that habits that you can't break? So I think, Michael, the problem, or maybe to answer your question, the question is freedom from what? And so when we say make you free, I believe what Jesus said. I think he will someday get us free from the way we think wrong. I think he'll get us free from the fleshly desires of our old tent here that we all have to live in. But I believe we're free the minute we accept Christ as our Savior. I just wish the other aspects of that freedom would catch up sooner than later. But when we say freedom, that entails so many different aspects of, are we talking about governmental freedom, freedom from our addictions, freedom from laws, freedom. See, and that's where it comes in. So is it semantics? I really can't say that it is. I don't think that it is. I think it's what you're addressing in that. Mm-hmm. And there's right. many other things that fall in the same category. I love my cheeseburger. I love my wife. Wow, do you have the same relationship with your cheeseburger as you do with your wife? Well, let's pray not. See, that's the problem that we run into, because love is a general term. Freedom is a general term. When we say, are you free? That's a general term. Any last thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said it's the context. When it comes to freedom from consequences, you still have the consequences to your action. Like if people are in prison, that doesn't mean they get out of jail. They still have to pay the consequences for their actions. That's not what they're saying when they're saying you're set free.
Amen. We're coming up on a break, everyone. Don't go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this, but we'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed, because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Monday afternoon, first Monday of 2026, and all the things that are going on in the world. You know, there's not a better time in the world to draw close to Christ than right now, remembering greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Joining me today, special guest, we have with us Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, attorneys at law representing people like you and me against unfair governmental laws. And we've talked many times about the number of jobs and people that he's come to the rescue of back in the mask mandate days and the vax mandates, government forcing people to take the vax or you lose your job, finding out that was completely unconstitutional. And Brad, you've been making a lot of headway with a lot of these, I call them thugs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we certainly are. And it's, you know, with the Department of Justice that we now have, the Attorney General we now have in the United States, that combined with the Supreme Court that we have and many great federal judges that were appointed between 2016, 2020, as well as recently, we're very positive moving forward. We're going to continue to see great case law for parents' rights. We have some very aggressive cases moving up towards the Supreme Court on parents' rights, also for religious freedom, for churches, and even for Christian businesses that are being attacked and having to shut their doors because they won't approve of something that is just abominable in the eyes of God that the government, say, of the state of Washington is trying to force on them. So we've got a lot of exciting cases, but they're all seemingly moving in a very great direction as they're moving up to the court towards closer and closer to the Supreme Court. So we're really very positive about this year, 2026, as well as spiritually, just seeing the revival continuing and more young people coming to Christ, becoming followers of Christ, going to church. You know, the stats are out now that show that Gen Zers, which is 18 to 24 year olds, have a higher church attendance than millennials and Gen Xers and even baby boomers. So there's a lot we have to be thankful for. And I think the question many Christians should be asking now is, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be on the field and not just in the stands? And I was preaching on that this last Sunday at a Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I really feel like it's time that we ask ourselves that question, not give up this opportunity that God's giving us right now to live for him.
Amen. To be about our daddy's business, so important. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Mike. And again, Mike, I hope that answered your question on that. Because again, we have to define what we're talking about. So it isn't a matter of semantics, it's a matter of definition. And right. So again, when we say freedom, well, you know, if you're in prison, freedom sounds like good, get outside. But if a person is outside and still addicted to their old lifestyles, they're still in bondage, and the Bible clearly calls it that. So we have to always look at those things, and we always want to do our best to define those words that are so often used. And again, friends, this is how the cults operate. They use the same words as we as Christians do. They use the words heaven, hell, Jesus, salvation, the Savior, with completely different meanings. And so initially talking to somebody, you'd say, oh, they're a follower of Christ. No, they're not. They have a whole different Christ than the one in the Bible. Might be the half-brother of Lucifer. Might be Michael the Archangel. Might be just some enlightened one that somehow has come across a few truths. See, when people talk about Jesus, there's one Jesus in the Bible. He was God, the Bible says. Found in Matthew chapter 1, he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. To the phones we go, 8888, ask CSN if you want to be part of the program today. Got some lines open. We're going to go to Alberto. Hi and welcome, Georgia.
Hello?
Hello, how can we help?
Yes, sir. Hi, good evening, gentlemen. My question is, you think it's fair for a Christian woman to faithfully keep herself pure, holding the Lord and the man also, and then people in the world, they don't pray to the devil, wait for the devil, you know, send them a woman or what. They just go, boom, get married quick. But the Christians have to wait for the Lord to send them body, you know, the man or the woman. Then people come to church from the world, have to be promiscuous, probably carrying all kinds of venereal diseases.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not fair to the Christian woman or man. And also, when getting married, you have to find out the person has all kinds of debt problems and all kinds of issues they bring with before you get married. you know, Jesus Christ said himself, said count the cost before you follow him. So should that same principle apply to a marriage also?
Amen. Alberto, you got it. And this is what really, I believe, dating is supposed to be about. It isn't what the world says it is. Oh, they're so good looking. You know, wow, two girls are talking, walking down the street. Wow, did you see the wallet on that guy? See, that's the problem. People are all attracted according to the wrong things. And instead of getting to know the person, how they were raised, what their parents were like, all these things help program that individual in what kind of a wife or a husband they're going to be. If a woman or a man comes from a home where there was a real mom and a real dad, a loving environment, that person's going to have a better understanding if you have come from a real mom and real dad home life as well. That's going to make a lot of compatibility. However, if you come from where there was only one parent, well, then why do I need you in my life? My mom made all the decisions. You're just along for the ride. See, this is the problems that we find. And so really the courtship was that time to really investigate who this person really is. It isn't, well, he likes pepperoni pizza and I like pepperoni pizza and therefore we're marriage compatible. Yeah. You think I'm kidding? I had a girl one time in our church, knew she just started coming, and she came up and she wanted me to marry her, her boyfriend. And I said, well, how long have you known him? She says, oh, I've only known him a month, but I'm so in love. And I said, well, what's he like? Oh, he's got the coolest four-wheel drive pickup, man. It's all lifted up and it's got chrome wheels. And I said, but what is he like? It's blue. It's really cool. And she continued to describe his truck rather than him. I was taken back. I looked at her and I said, let me ask you something, honey. What happens if there's a wreck and that truck gets rolled over and smashed up? And it was like I hit her in the face with a wet fish. She just, because she had tied her affections to him and what he had. We have no promise of owning anything tomorrow. And so the problem was, this really was discomforting to her. So when we understand that really, I believe in the dating thing, we need to find out everything that we can. And if the person that you're courting is dishonest concerning things, you say, Mike, well, like what? Well, I didn't tell you this, honey, when we were dating, but now that we're married, I've been in and out of mental institutions in about 3 states. Yeah, that's pretty serious. Or how about this one? I'm just sharing with you all, in being a pastor for 46 years, the things that I have heard from people that have marriage problems, where they'll come in my office and say, he didn't tell me that he had 3 kids in 2 states. This was a surprise to me. I got a call on the phone. She said that she could no longer take care of his kids. I thought it was a joke until he came home and I confronted him at 5 o'clock when he came through the door. What is this that you have kids in other states? I had some crazy lady call me saying, you can't take care of, she couldn't take care of your kids anymore. And he said, she told me he hung his head and said, it's true. I've got 3 kids. What? You never told her when you were dating about this? When I asked him why, he said this. He said, well, I didn't tell her because I knew if I did, she probably wouldn't marry me. Oh, so now all of a sudden, the marriage and marriage vow, it's just a big deception. It's spoof them while you can, and then after you ring them, then the real you comes out. You know, it's dangerous, Alberto. And what you said, I wish more people would listen. Because again, we are living in a time and a day of deception. It's rampant in our society. It's rampant in the church. It's rampant in our worship music. It's rampant everywhere. when we start singing songs in church in the morning that, oh, well, let's worship the Lord, and it's all about me. Oh, God, you're worthy of my praise. Oh, well, aren't we something? That I've looked at you, God, and I have determined that you're worthy of my praise. Oh, all of a sudden, who's the one on the throne now? Is it God? Or is it me determining that God is worthy of my praise? I'm telling God, hey, buddy, I'm the one in control here, and I think you come up to the standard that I think, yeah, maybe I can say you're worthy of my praise. Friends, this is scary stuff. But the deception is everything. You know, the Bible says that's one of the signs of the end of the age, is deception everywhere, everywhere. Look at all the money that's wasted. Look at the problems right now in Minnesota. These child care centers that don't even exist, but they're getting free government. It's all deception. It's deception in the dating world. It's deception in everything. You know, Brad, as an attorney, I don't know how you ever have time to even eat dinner or sleep at night, because it seems that that's what attorneys do, is try to stomp out the deception, your thoughts.
Yeah. And especially when you're talking about relationships and integrity, that's why it's important not to get married early. If a couple says, oh, we never fight, we've never argued once, I'm going to say, well, they're not ready to get married then. Because they need to know how they deal with conflict. And that means they haven't been dating long enough. They need to have, you know, how do you deal with those issues? Also, we need to wait for the Lord and not be impatient. At the same time, God has made men to be pursuers. He gave us 10 times the testosterone for a reason, and I think that's one of them, is we are to pursue a wife. God has made women instinctively to want to be pursued by men. And our society twists everything around. We have a real crisis in our country now. A lot of single men, single young women, part of that's because we're compromising morally and they're shacking up and they're just not seeing the value of marriage. Although there's been a recent polling that shows there's actually an increased value now by a lot of young people, a lot of women, and the value of marriage and being in a traditional family. But I encourage men out there, young men out there, don't just spiritualize it and say, well, I'm just going to pray and wait for God to give this someone. And in the scripture, there's many different examples of how people got married and how people connected. Sometimes parents had a role in it. Other times it was just taking initiative, the man taking initiative and being persistent. But I encourage that. I encourage young men in particular, and women, you know, to be a part of a church youth program or young people's program, whatever your age group is. If you're attending a small church that doesn't have anything for singles, young singles, attend your church, but I encourage you maybe to visit another church, a Bible-believing church that does have that kind of a social interaction with believers. Never take it for granted that the people who are a part of that group has the same values you do. They could have very, very loose, sexually loose values. And then finally, you might even want to consider using something like eHarmony. It's technology, and some people, Christians, say, oh, don't do technology. But I know of believers that have been able to be connected up with really great, compatible Christians and on eHarmony. There may be other ones out there as well, but make sure that they give you the opportunity to see what the person really believes and what they think. And even then, you have to take that with a grain of salt and actually get to know the person. But we're not to be passive. We're not passive when we buy a house or we get a car or we get a job. A spouse is more important than any of that. And while we need to seek the Lord and pray and trust in the Lord, we also, I think God gives us that desire and need to reach out and take initiative and pursue that which God says is important and not necessarily the priorities of the world, as Pastor Mike just mentioned.
I hope that helps, Alberto.
Yes, yeah, that's true. But what about the women? You know, they got a time clock to have a baby, so they can't wait too old.
You know, that is true. And I believe this is why we need to use the resources that we have. I think Some of these Christian dating websites are probably a very real alternative that people can do. I realize that many times people are in small towns. They have a love for God. Maybe the church they go to, maybe it's not theologically very sound. And do you quit your job and just start moving from city to city? No, I think there's a way God does that. And I do believe that God is the master matchmaker by amazing things all the way through the Bible. You'll see this all the way through. But it is one of the things that even Solomon said. He said, there's things that are really a mystery to me. He said, a ship on the ocean, a snake, the way it moves along the ground, and the way a man is with a maid, believe it or not. He said that whole dating thing, how that all works out. So I do think that there are these different avenues that a person can pursue. And so, you know, I would just tell anybody, check that out. You know, if God closes the door, he closes the door. If he opens the door, hey, praise God. There you go. Hope that helps, Roberto.
Yes, sir. I mean, I know it's crazy where we live in because so many venereal diseases out there.
Oh, it's scary. It's totally scary. In fact, I knew a girl who married a guy, and he was really gay. He married this girl to hide that he was gay. This was about 30 years ago. He married this girl to hide that he was gay from his parents to get the inheritance. Complete deception. So we see this rampant everywhere, and we just have to be wise as serpents, the Bible says, harmless as doves. And I think that's so important. And I would say this, Alberto, and for everybody listening in this new year, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you get a check in your spirit, maybe God is saying, hey, wait a minute, can't go for that. There might be something in your heart that God is stopping you from getting involved in something or someone, something. I just think we have to be really careful because, again, we live by the Spirit, the Bible says. And so we have to be guided by that. Listen to that voice. This is why people say, well, I don't ever pray. I'm a Christian, but I never pray. You better start. You better start hearing your daddy's voice, because I think it's going to be really important in the days to come. Alberto, hope that helps. Happy New Year to you.
Good answer, both of y'all.
God bless you, Alberto. Thanks so much for the call. Stay in line if you like. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow. Very quickly, we had a caller that couldn't stay with us asking why we have no cartels in the United States. Well, we do. We have cartels in the United States, very clearly defined. They're called gangs. When I grew up in East LA, I grew up in the county of Los Angeles because we were between Whittier and Pico Rivera and it all comes together down there. And there was my parents were kind of funny. They go, what is all this graffiti all over the walls? When you go under the freeway overpasses, you would see graffiti on trash cans and all over. What is that? Well, when you learn to read it, it means something. It means that this gang is the one that sells drugs in this neighborhood. Don't mess with us. That's true. And so this is how they were able to control. And so then what happens when one gang would start selling drugs in another person's gang's territory, you get into what's called gang wars. And that's what the gang wars primarily were over. And so the colors you always hear about, well, this person's wearing their colors. Well, why was that? To identify who your supplier is, in which part of the town you're in, which is controlled by which particular gang. Now, some gangs are much bigger than other gangs. And we've seen some notoriety on one particular individual's knuckles in the last couple of months. Yeah, that all has to do with it. So yes, there are gangs in America. There are, and depending, and I don't know where the line is, Brad, where a gang gets so big it becomes a cartel, but I do believe that there is an element of gangs in the United States right now that are controlling city and county officials. I think about this judge that was down in New Mexico who had a well-known gang member living in his house. He was a convicted gang member living in his house, in a judge's house. He would allow this gang member to take his daughter's AR-15 out to the rifle range and practice. So that is at the judge level. Now, Brad, your thoughts on this, because for us to think that these cartels and these gangs aren't controlling city, public, governmental officials, I think, if you think that, I think people need to pull their head out of their sand, because there's some, we know that there is big, high-rolling dollars in this kind of stuff. And again, part of the deception and that goes on in our society. These people look to be good. They look to be law-abiding. They have their robes on. And yet they will stand up for the criminal every single time. Please explain this to people like me and all of our listeners, Brad, how you can have judges that are bought off by these gangs or cartels. Your thoughts?
Well, I know it's rampant in Mexico. The judges, I've talked to a gentleman, he goes down there, mission work, and he gets arrested, for some reason, in the car, whatever, they come up with some reason. And then the judge says, okay, how much can you pay me, $50,000, and then I'll let you go. I mean, just openly, just give me personally $50,000, I'll let you go. Law enforcement, police, very corrupt all throughout Mexico. Judges, courtrooms, all corrupt. It's a joke. It's a third world nightmare. And that's one reason why we need to be careful about who we let into this country from other countries, because they may not have the understanding of justice and the Constitution and fairness and integrity and character that we demand under our Constitution and under our laws. As far as the United States goes, I have to say, I think most of the problem with these judges letting criminals go is, and maybe I'm naive, I think it's not so much the fact they're being bribed, but the fact that they are just, they're very left in their agenda, which is not to punish criminals, period, and be very pro-criminal. You know, you look at the pardons by the Biden administration and the Obama administrations, these are just cutthroat criminals that they decide to let off the hook. 32, a death penalty, people in the death row, just let off the hook in terms of no death penalty, your life in prison. But
Brad,
ideology, I think, more than bribery, but that's my personal opinion.
Well, let's get to Dean here, Filer, Idaho. We only got about a minute and a half. Dean, ask your question, please.
This is for Brad. I was listening to the Dacus report, I think it was Saturday. Okay. And you were talking about some parents in Carolina. Their child was in St. Jude's cancer clinic.
Yes.
And the clinic turned the parents in to Child Protective Services.
Right.
Well, what I'm wondering, your opinion, I donate to St. Jude's. I'm wondering, should I stop donating to them? Am I being biblically responsible by giving them donations?
Well, that's a good question. I understand St. Jude's, they have a affiliate, and that's one affiliate, St. Jude's Hospital. I would look into finding out, when you give to St. Jude's, is it to a particular St. Jude's hospital? Is it to a particular program? Does that money going to go to the one in North Carolina that loves to try to take eight-year-old boys who are suffering from cancer to rip them from their parents, simply because the parents are doing a better job in the hospital and in giving the proper supplemental care that's saving the boy's life? It was brutal what they were doing in North Carolina, I would never take my child to St. Jude's of North Carolina. But you want to be careful. Find out when you see that TV commercial, and they spend lots of money on those TV commercials. But I'd look into finding out where the money actually goes. And if it goes to that one in North Carolina, I wouldn't give a penny. Otherwise, prayerfully consider and be a wise steward.
Hope that answers it for you. We're all out of time, everybody. And again, we'll look forward to being back with you tomorrow. If you didn't get on today, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Brad, thanks so much for being on the program. If you want to know more, pji.org. God bless you and good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.